Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Maybe you'd influenced inadvertently the parent of that child.
I mean, I could have done. You know, a few people did email us to say they bought Udi's after Udi Gate.
But you can get ones from Primark and stuff that are
cheap knockoffs.
Cheap knockoffs, yeah. Which
I love a cheap knockoff.
What is it? A blanket with a hood. Yeah, it has nice. A pocket that's so big and fluffy that if I put my phone in it, I have been known to walk around the house for 10 minutes going, "Where's my phone?" Because I can't feel that it's in the Udi because it's so big and fluffy. She went to put magnesium onto her Tesco delivery and she sent a screenshot of the Tesco delivery. You can see that she searched magnesium. It says, "No products found for magnesium. Showing closest matching products. Tesco Finest Sauvignon Blanc, 75 cents."
Welcome to episode 137 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. We've got a lot to get through this episode, not least because of the reaction to my controversial parkrun comments last episode. So, of course, that means we spend the first 20 minutes discussing Udi's for kids and British summertime. Then we truck on with some dedicated running chat. I've just completed my penultimate long run before the London Marathon, so we have thoughts about that, and there's a small tangent off into stress incontinence. If you know, you know. Holly discusses what she should train for next. Should this be a 10K, or a virtual thing, or a cumulative thing? At the moment, she's enjoying no pressure training, but we know that goals are our friend, so there are a few things to ponder here. And then, of course, the parkrun controversy continues. We had a full mailbag this week with plenty of you weighing in on the debate. So we talk about your thoughts and how we can create more of a non-competitive atmosphere for our weekly meetups. Hello, hello, hello. Now, do sign up to be a patron of the Women's Running Podcast on Patreon. Confusingly, this is spelt P-A-T-R-E-O-N. If you're in the Cheer Squad tier, which is just £6 a month, you'll be able to listen to exclusive monthly podcasts, which we've decided to call The Extra Mile, created specially so you've always got a bit extra to listen to on your long runs, in which we promise to do our best to talk about anything apart from running. The fourth one is available right now. Do sign up at patreon.com/womensrunning and go and have a listen.
If you've already sprung forward, that's...
Oh, God. Well, I find it really genuinely confusing and it gives me a form of, I'm sure, jet lag. It makes me feel so weird. And I'm such a little routiney creature. And I think that... I have my little habits and little patterns, and like I wake up at the same time and I go to bed at the same time every day, and switching that out by an hour, I can't get over the fact that like right now it is technically 10:47. And for the listener, it's 11:40. It says 11:47 on the clock. But Doug thinks that I'm allowed to say that for like a day, but I do it for like 2 weeks.
It takes you that long.
It takes me so long. So he said he was going to attack me every time I talked about the clocks at the moment.
Fair enough. I think it is discombobulating. I think there is something about I woke up yesterday. The kids woke me up. And I was like, oh yeah, 8 o'clock. Well done, kids. And then suddenly realizing, actually, no, it's 7.
It's 7. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we didn't go to bed until quarter past midnight last night because we couldn't get tired.
Yeah.
Because it all felt slightly. It just all felt really. It felt like 11 o'clock. And usually, I would kind of like go to bed at about 11-ish. And with the aim of sort of being asleep by like 11:30, quite a late person I am. That's probably later than a lot of people. But I don't have to worry about getting up for kids in the morning. I just roll out of bed. All I need is enough time for a coffee and put my pajamas on. Even I don't put. I was about to say get dressed, put a nudie on over the top.
Hate you. Right,
I'm okay. I'm so sorry.
Holly, I forgot. I have to tell you.
Have you got something really exciting?
Really exciting, right? Because I just remembered when you said nudie. Mm-hmm. So I took the kids to gymnastics on Wednesday. I know this is massive tangent. And Felix's friend turned up. It was her first time at gymnastics. And she was wearing your hoodie.
The avocado one. Oh, I have seen that they've started doing small people ones. Because if Felix tried to wear my hoodie, for example, it would be, I mean, it'd actually be comedy gold. But she would be completely swamped in it.
She would love it.
But yeah, it would be like a small mouse in a bag. You wouldn't be able to see her at all. But I have noticed that they've just started doing ones for small people. Oh, that's lovely. Was Felix jealous?
Actually. No, I think she was.
They're quite pricey though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are quite pricey.
How much is a child's hoodie? I think the grown-up ones are sort of 60, 70 quid.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, I didn't buy mine. It was a very kind present. But you can get ones from Primark and stuff that are...
Cheap knockoffs,
yeah. Which,
I love a cheap knockoff.
What is it? A blanket with a hood? Does it have a pocket even? It does, actually. It has a pocket that's so big and fluffy that if I put my phone in it, I have been known to walk around the house for 10 minutes going, where's my phone? Because I can't feel that it's in the hoodie because it's so big and fluffy. I love it so much. Oh, well, I'm glad to share the avocado trend with some very fashionable 8-9-year-olds.
Maybe you'd influenced inadvertantly the parent of that child.
I mean, I could have done. You know, a few people did email us to say they bought Udi's after Udi Gate. Well, it's good. I would. An Udi influencer feels like it works. Speaking of influencers, So we've had like a lot of emails. And I will do what we usually would do in that we've got lots of stuff to talk about. We'll talk our usual talk, but yes. I may pepper a couple in throughout the conversation because there are so many that I wanted to reference. And this isn't us being influencers, but it was very brand on brand for the pod. And I thought I would mention it. But we had an email from a lovely listener called Tanya who sent a screenshot that I wish I could share with you, but I don't have the technical ability to do that. But it was, she, after the last pod where we talked about magnesium, she went to put magnesium onto her Tesco delivery and she sent us a screenshot of the Tesco delivery. And it says, you can see that she searched magnesium. It says, no products found for magnesium, showing closest matching products. Tesco Finest, Sauvignon Blanc, 75 cents. I like to think that that's based on what on Tesco's AI of our podcast listeners who all searched, went off and searched for magnesium, couldn't find it, bought Savvy B instead.
And a Tesco Finest Savvy B.
A Tesco Finest like Savvy B. In fact, yeah, I think I recognise the very one, a £7.50.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great value. Yeah.
Good value these days. Good bloody value these days.
It is. It is when your Villa Maria is at least a tenner. Christ.
It's bonkers. Apparently, the average shop costs twice as much. So I'm going to have to look over to my own personal Richard Osmond in the studio. Doug is in the corner of the room today for this recording, though not listening.
Doug.
I think Doug, twice as much. Oh, he's not sure. He doesn't want to make a blanket statement without double checking. But I'm pretty sure double the price that it was this time last year, something like that.
I would say anecdotally, my Sainsbury's shop has gone up. I don't know if it's gone up by 100%, but it's definitely gone up by, I'd say 75%. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
That's not just, it is bonkers.
Yeah, even just popping in and getting little bits from Co-op, we did little bits on the way home last night. We'd gone for dinner with some friends, and how can you possibly have a Sunday without having some Monster Munch before after your dinner before you go to sleep? So we went to go and get some little crispy bits, and it's even those shops are like a surprising amount if you're just going and getting little snacky bits. It's really sad because it probably means that I should cut out the snacks.
Oh no, don't cut out snacks. They're the cheapest bit. It's the fresh food you want to cut out whole, she says.
That's actually a really good idea. It was when we did our first vegan shop. I'm sorry, I've told this on the podcast before, but I remember being completely shook because our weekly shop, and this might be quite a lot. Let me know if this is, but ours is like about £100 for the two of us for the week. Mm. And I'm sure that like we could spend less. It's just that there will be things like wine and crisps, etc., in there. So and probably a couple of easy things that always cost more money than you think, like a pasta thing you can stick in the oven or whatever. Those are always much more than I think they're going to be. And the first time in January when we did a veganuary shop, I was like, this is going to be great. This is going to be like £60 because I also was doing not drinking very much in Jan, so we didn't buy any booze, we didn't buy any meat, well we wouldn't buy meat anyway, but we didn't buy any cheese, we didn't buy any dairy, we didn't buy anything like that, and it was £100 and I was so sad.
I have to say, because I went from meat to vegan, and it did mean that the family, I was going to say suffered as a result. They definitely, which would be unfair to vegans. They didn't suffer. They just had to go along with me a little bit. They definitely had meat as well. But it did mean that I wasn't doing things like buying like a whole chicken to roast. And I was buying, I wasn't buying expensive, right? Red meat is definitely really expensive. And I wasn't buying that. So I did notice a difference of not meat. But it was expensive because I also bought loads of kind of crappy stuff to put in the freezer.
That's the thing. That's what I know I could cut down on is like mock meats and stuff like that that are really expensive. Yeah. Lovely, but really expensive.
Oh my God, yeah. I've got a real thing now. There's a kind of, is it the This Isn't range?
Oh God, that's so good.
So some of those I never got on with, the bacon.
You didn't like the sausages, did you?
The sausages are very strange. But there's
This Isn't sausage.
Basically a chicken nugget thing that they do, which I cooked for the whole family and none of them liked it but me, not even Dave. Dave was like, oh no, I don't like that.
Really?
Which means I'm flying through it. I absolutely love them.
I love them too. I have them in a wrap sometimes. I had that on Friday for my Friday treat lunch. I had those.
Oh, I tell you what though, the Green Cuisine one
dippers.
I tucked in.
The Green Cuisine dippers?
I know, hang on, because you sound as though you're excited.
Oh yeah, do you not like those?
Oh my God. It was the wrongest mouthfeel ever. It was like biting into kind of mush. It was like someone had eaten chicken and chewed it and then spat it back out again and then breaded it. That's what it tasted like.
Ooh, that's why I like it. Nostalgic.
Done the hard work for you.
Oh, I quite like those. I like those. I find them a good cheap alternative. I mean, they're not as good as a corn nug, are they?
But oh, corn nugs, they rule. They rule.
They do rule. Yeah. I do love those. If I'm going to have a really naughty, if I'm going to have a beige tea, you know, like,
oh, yes,
nugs, chips, whatever, beans, garlic bread, whatever it is, then I would probably opt for a corn nug of all things.
But they are supreme.
We do usually have some of those Green Cuisine dippers in the freezer, and I like those. But maybe, Esther, I have got shit taste now because I've been a veggie for too long and I don't know what it's like. I don't know what a real lovely goujon is like anymore.
Yeah, well, maybe that's, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's that you've got shit taste, it's that I've got shit taste. I'm so kind of meat focused, aren't I? But I don't know if it's because it's not like meat that I don't like, because I don't like fakeness necessarily. I'm happy that corn nuggets, for me, they don't taste like chicken nuggets, they taste like corn nuggets, and I like that taste.
Yeah, because really, if you bit into, I remember as a kid enjoying a nug every so often, and then we went to like a pub, but it felt like going to a posh restaurant or something when I was little, and I had a breaded goujon that was essentially probably just like a little strip of chicken breast that had then been covered in breadcrumbs and, like, you know, it might actually have even been like beer battered or whatever. It was like battered. And I remember being like, absolutely fuck this. Because it didn't taste fake enough at all.
Yeah.
And I think actually out of, you know, when you're having a goujon or a dipper or something, would you want to bite into it and it be like chicken breast? No, you want it to be.
Yeah,
where you're like, is there a beak in this? Maybe, but
could be.
The joy of a corn nug, is you know there's not.
There's no beak, no sweet beaks, no toenails. I think the difference for me is it's that bite, that it's a bit like the difference between Haribo with gelatin in it and a Fizzy Colin with no gelatin in it.
Yeah,
which is much much softer and preferable as far as I'm concerned. And I think that with a corn nugget, you just, you're biting all the way through. There's no give.
No.
There's nothing like that. And yeah, you're right. You're not going to hit a beak on the way down either.
No, you're not. There's no danger of beaks.
Right. We're 12 minutes in. Should we talk about running?
Okay. You're listening to the women. That's my new favorite thing to do
People must be so confused if they never listened before.
Tell me about yours, because yours is going to be so much more exciting. If you follow Esther on the gram, I'm sure you would have clocked that she ran a very long run on Sunday. Sunday or Saturday?
Saturday.
I did.
So London Marathon at time of record is 4 weeks away, I think, scarily enough. So this was my penultimate long run, and I've got my last long run to do this weekend, and then it's 2 weeks of taper, and then it's marathon. That's the way that my training plan is. So I did 20 miles on Saturday.
Amazing.
I'm really pleased I've done it. It's obviously really nice to have it behind me, but I do have like a 21-22 staring me in the face next weekend. But I think for me, and it was fine. It was fine. I set off really, really slowly. I was doing a route I knew, mostly flat. I got my gels were fine. I could probably have done without having a glass of wine the night before, but that was fine. Everything was fine.
Oh, you've got to take the wins though, haven't you? That's what I've struggled with most with my regime of not being, I've only allowed myself to drink on Friday and Saturday nights, that also that's the logical time to do your run the next morning. So I've had to fully accept that now runs are fueled by Savvy B. Otherwise, there'd be no joy left in the world. Yeah,
exactly. I will not drink for the week before the London Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I'm not going to restrict it, I don't think. And I don't really drink that much anyway, so I think it'll be fine. So it's fine. But it was a slog. And it was really, really muddy, which is just frustrating. So I was wearing road shoes and I was slipping about like a bastard, you know, kind of on the towpath. It was all over the place. I just find that annoying. But it was fine. What I had to do to get through it, I had to do chunking, which
Yes,
Josie
tell
Perry
me more.
Has talked about.
I don't yeah. remember Josie talking about chunking.
Did she talk about it on the pod with us?
I can't remember if she talked about it. We've talked about it as a strategy with her, and I can't remember if it's because it's in her book or because we talked about it on the pod. But basically,
I saw you mention chunking, yeah, and I was like, it sounded like chonky seal. It sounded like,
yeah.
I had no idea what you were referring to.
And there was someone who
sounds like a new dance craze.
It doesn't it? Do the chunk.
Do the chunk.
up there with flossing. Which I can do. There was a woman commented underneath that, just sort of saying, was it something to do with vomiting? And it was like, actually, it does sound as though it's something to do with that. But it's not. It's basically dividing your run up into little chunks.
Yes, it does sound like vomiting. So, sorry, that's just hit
it
me.
Does, what,
yeah.
It?
Yeah. Blowing it really chunks. Does. Is that something people say?
Yeah, it's a super unpleasant word. But yes. What it's describing is, dividing up your run into manageable chunks, which I've always done anyway with longer runs because of the nutrition thing, which I've said before. But I think it bears repeating because it's so, so fucking useful to... Mm-hmm. So what I do before I go for this long run, so say with this 20-mile run, I sit there with my gels in front of me and I've got Precision Hydration, which I'm going to put in my water. And with my gels, I figure out where I'm going to start taking them. So once I start taking them, I know that I'm going to take them at 3-mile intervals. So I think to myself, right, I'll take the first one at maybe 5 miles. Yeah. So then I sit there going 5, 8, you know, so on and so forth, all the way up to 20.
Yeah, now a huge convert to this method after... The
absolutely
famous two Haribos every 5K method that I employed in the Paris Half, as recommended
Perfect.
By no one.
But it, as a mental strategy, it's brilliant.
So
as a
good.
Nutritional strategy, maybe less good, but as a mental strategy, absolutely brilliant. It's for me, it's great. So it meant that for quite a lot of my runs, so it takes me almost a mile, sometimes a bit more than a mile, to eat the whole gel.
Yeah.
And then I've got 2 more miles to go before I take the next one. So in my head, I'm either thinking 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, but you know, before I get to 8 miles, or I'm thinking 11, 11, 11, mm-hmm. 11. So I just have that in my head. And all I'm thinking of is getting to that bit, getting to 11 miles, getting to, you know, 14 miles or 17 miles. So I can take the next one. So that's really fine. But then what I also found I was doing, like towards the end of the run, particularly the last kind of 6 miles or so, where I was really struggling, I have to be honest. And I kept on looking at my watch and thinking, can I run any slower? And then thinking, I don't know if anyone can feasibly run any slower than I am currently running.
Oh, me, if you're ever wondering.
So then what I was doing, particularly for the last mile, we know what the last mile is like, right? It's absolutely horrific of any run, whether it's like, 5 miles or 10 miles or 50 miles. So my last mile, pretty much every single time I do a long run, my last mile is back along the towpath. It's a particular stretch I know all too well. And it just looks like pain in my, like in my sights. So I know every turn in that path. So what I was then doing was reducing my chunks to tiny little visual clues. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like the pub, not as in I wanted to go, but I did want to go.
Oh, yeah. Was it
the George.
Bathampton Mill and the George? What a lovely selection of pubs at that bit of the towpath.
So I was like, it is great. So I was like, George. And so as soon as I got to George, I knew that then beyond the George, there's a little bridge.
Yeah.
So that's about maybe a third of a mile on. So I was like, bridge. Need to get to the bridge, just need to get to the bridge.
Pigs, so pigs. Did you do that one?
Pigs. Oh, yes, I did.
I do that one on mine.
There's a tiny little small holding, isn't there, just to the side of the towpath.
What is that goats. About? It's like a small farm thing.
Yeah, I think it might be someone that lives on one of the canal boats has got that small holding, I think. Or maybe a number
what
of them
a life.
Have.
And that's extremely cool. If you live on a canal boat and you've got a small, it's like a bit bigger than an allotment, but they've turned it into a sort of mini farm. And there's two big pigs that are lovely.
There are. They're quite furry from memory.
They're quite furry. They're sweet.
Yeah, they're really sweet. There are goats, There are goats that smell really goaty that I find that off-putting on the way back.
You can smell it coming, that bit of the canal path.
Yeah. And I do find, I don't know if you find this at all, but when I've been running for a certain amount of time, or actually when I run all the time, for me, my sense of smell is, it feels like it goes up a notch.
Oh, really?
So I find, and maybe my sense of smell anyway is, because all my other senses are so shit. I mean, visually, I'm fucked. Hearing is going.
But smell,
smell mental.
A supersonic. Mental. Yeah.
Yeah, which means if I run behind anyone that's like even wearing deodorant, I want to just slap them as I go past. Yeah, I can't bear it.
Interesting. No, I don't know whether I get that when I run. I think sense of smell though is one of my things that I'm a bit shit for. And especially since having COVID, sometimes it takes me ages to smell stuff. Like I can see it. And I can see the lines of smell coming off it, but it takes me a while to do it. I remember Doug saying that once, that he ate some brownies and he had a really bad cold, and he could he could feel that they tasted great, but just nothing came.
And I feel like, worst.
Yeah, sometimes I still have that a little bit with COVID-y stuff. But so you presumably, when you get to that pigs, goats, chickens, whatever else is there, that's you're nearly. Chunking in a
nearly
different...
chunking chunking. Definitely, if it's really goaty, it what happily at the actually I ran past it this morning as well, and it wasn't it the goats have been I think they've maybe they've moved somewhere else, but it was the goat smell had significantly reduced, but you can still and the pigs are actually they're quite sweet smelling.
Pigs are not as smelly as people think. As a 4-year-old or something, pigs. I've got a real soft spot for pigs.
I love pigs. They play football. I think they're amazing.
So sweet. It's so sweet. I just love those two fluffy ones. They're just they seem to be always on good form.
They're really cool. I really love them.
They're lovely.
But so the other thing I was going to talk about with the run, there were two things. There were two things I was going to talk about. Mild incontinence, number one.
Okay.
And two, neighbourly help. So the first one was that, I had a bit of a wee. Which tends to be happening slightly more frequently. So immediately made me think, right, okay, it's time to actually start doing the pelvic floor exercises.
Doing them right now, whenever anybody mentions it.
Mention pelvic and lift and zip.
Do you know men have a pelvic floor, I think?
Yes, they do.
I didn't know that until recently.
So, I know that only because the first time I heard of pelvic floor exercises, it was a bloke that was telling me who, and this was about 20 years ago, and his wife had a baby, and she'd put little stickers in front of the sink and in front of her in the shower to remind her to do pelvic floor exercises after
That's
having a
good
baby.
Idea.
Good idea. But she had quite ferociously turned around to him and said, I want you to do them too, because I am not cleaning up after you when you're 80. And I was
there you go.
You can do this too.
I wouldn't have thought. I would have just thought it was, I suppose all of our stuff's on the inside. This is really gross, but I would have thought it was on, just hold it. I wouldn't have realised.
You mean if you squeeze the willy that no wee will come out kind of thing.
Yes, and that would be the way that you prevented that from happening. I wouldn't have thought that there were inside muscles that prevented that.
I think it's the same. It's basically the same.
It's basically the same.
Sort of the same mechanics down there. So you have to kind of, in order to do a pelvic floor exercise for both a man and a woman, you
lift and zip.
You lift and zip. You behave as if you're stopping a wee coming out.
Yeah. So that's what it feels like for a bloke to stop a wee coming
mid-flow.
Out.
Mid-flow. Yeah, same thing.
Weird. Because that feels, this is all way too much information on Monday morning.
Yes.
But it feels, if you do that, If you do a pelvic floor thing and it feels like you're trying to stop
doing
the
wee, it,
then that feels where the wee would come out.
Yes.
Whereas for a bloke or for someone with a penis, then you're doing that. You're but it's
disjointed.
It's not. That's not where it's coming out.
That's so weird to me. Doug was also telling me this the other day, and we had a bit of an argument about it because he was like, oh, I've got an sorry, this is really gross as well. He was like, blokes have got an extra bit before you wee yourself. Yes, which I don't think that, and I think what he was referring to is out the front then.
This isn't a biology lesson.
Safe for work, this episode. And we should have got an expert on if we were going to talk about urethras. I'm going to leave it there because I don't know what I'm going to say about that. But I was just like, no, that's not true. We also have that thing of when you feel, oh, you know, like when a little bit of wee nearly comes, but you can stop it in time. And I thought what he was trying to argue is that only blokes can do that because they've got a longer tube. And I don't think that that's quite true, because I think we also can stop, can feel it coming and then go, whoop.
Let me do some quick googling. I have no idea. But I'd say that up until about, I don't know, maybe a week ago, I thought of myself as being absolutely made of iron around the whole bladder area. Mm-hmm. And I'm beginning to realize that I'm as fallible as anyone else. And I'm trying to remember, do you remember we did a podcast? Oh God, it was months ago, possibly even years ago, where we were talking quite a lot about kind of weeing and running and stuff.
Yes.
And I got onto one of my famous high horses and was talking about how, you know, okay, it's common, but it's not normal.
But it shouldn't be.
You know, that kind of thing. So I wanted to remind myself of that, basically, and to remind everyone that's listening of that yes, wetting yourself as a grown woman is something that's really common, particularly after having kids, but not necessarily.
You shouldn't have to accept it as a norm, basically, isn't it? Because I think that's the thing, is that expression isn't trying to make you feel abnormal for that happening to you. It is, common, not accepted, or common, not normal is...
Common, not normal.
Yeah, because it does... with lots of issues to do with women's bodies, it's just a way of sort of being like, oh well, get over it and get on with it, that's what happens. And it's like, no,
you should not have to accept it. And there is, for most cases of that kind of stress incontinence, for most cases it can be fixed. And I think loads of women don't realize that, because of all the advertising around kind of incontinence wear and incontinence pads and stuff like that, because of all that advertising, which it makes it seem as if every woman 40 plus who's had a baby will basically have a little wee every time they jump on a trampoline. And that is not have to be the case at all. And we can strengthen our pelvic floors in any number of ways. So so I'm going to try and strengthen my pelvic floor.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell everyone here, and I'm going to hold myself accountable.
I'm going to do the same thing. We talked about this, haven't we, that we would love to have a pelvic floor workout in the mag on the website or something, but it's just quite difficult to find imagery that can easily explain the move.
It's just a series of kind of like eyebrow movements, isn't it, rather than anything
else. Maybe that's how we should demonstrate it, because otherwise it would just be a sort of anatomical drawing of a pelvis over and over again. And I mean, I think maybe it needs to be the facial expression you're pulling when you're doing the particular movement.
That's quite funny. Let's do it.
I'm doing it. I'm going to do it.
Okay, we'll do it. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was also that while I was running, and so my 20-mile run, and this is not the same for everyone, but my 20-mile run took me 3.5 hours. So... and this is my race. I'm just putting it out there. That's how long it took me.
That's epic.
I know that some people do it in a couple of hours.
I would describe that as epic.
Thank you. it felt quite epic. But my problem over the weekend was that Dave wasn't here.
Yeah. And tell me more about that.
Oh, God. Right. Okay. I'm putting it out there. This is my story, and I am not equating this with anyone else's story. So... everything's absolutely fine. Dave's not here because he's looking after his mum for a bit. And so it's a very, very temporary thing, but it's a temporary thing where we don't really know where the end is. Mm-hmm. So So it's fine. You know, during the week is fine and we're coping. But it just means that I have had to pull in other resources in order to go for a very, like during the week, I've just readjusted. I'm doing much more running during the day and during the working day and happily with flexible working and stuff like that. That's fine.
Yeah.
But for the long run at the weekend, it meant that I had to, it turned out I ended up using the favors of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 neighbors, maybe even 6, in order to look after 2 small children so that I could go for this massive epic run.
But you've got such a lovely, and again, I'm not trying to say that therefore this means it's easy. It's all complicated when you're out of your usual routine, isn't it? I think that is such a lovely thing that you've got, that you shouldn't feel guilty for relying on, because you've built that lovely network and you've done the same and you would do the same for lots of them. And yeah, I have this image of your neighborhood, like a sort of 50s kind of advert for like a utopia that with sort of people running around and sort of waving at each other and children playing and on the swings together or whatever. That's kind of what I imagine
I have to say it's bloody lovely, and I am really, really lucky to be able to call on that kind of help and support, and it's been absolutely amazing. But for the past week and continuing for the next couple of weeks, it does mean, so that just talking about the one small side effect of just temporarily single parenting, which is not the same at all as obviously full-time single parenting, which is completely different kettle of fish, that just for this, it's made me realize that I have to adapt my training plan quite significantly, because I can't do the things that I would normally do when there's another parent in the house. So I can't do my early morning boot camps, and I can't go for a run before work.
School.
Mm-hmm. Before school run, yeah. So I can't do all those sorts of things. So it's
runs at lunchtime?
What I'm doing is I'm doing runs after school drop-off. So I drop them and then go for a run. So I'm still doing my running. The running is fine, but all my strength work has just fallen off a cliff.
Yeah.
Because I need to be told what to do in person.
And you can't do a video at lunchtime or something.
Because I love
a video at lunchtime.
You do,
I've got my
you?
Leggings on ready for a video at lunchtime today.
Oh.
But mine, I feel like I managed to convince myself to do it because I think you've already tasted the joy, and I know it's not always joy, but of boot camp, whereas I've never really done anything like that. I've been to a couple of in-person gym classes pre-COVID, and I didn't really like the group, and I didn't really enjoy them. I didn't really find the right thing for me, whereas you found a lovely in-person thing. That's a bit how I feel with yoga, because I did used to go to a lovely yoga class that I can't really afford to go to anymore. And that I stopped going to, I mean, it was years ago now, I stopped going to it during lockdown. And I sometimes find the same thing where I find it really, really difficult to motivate myself to do a yoga with Adrian or something, because it's just not quite the same. You've already found what works for you, it's a bit like, again, it's just out of routine and it's a bit kind of like, oh, that's weird. I wouldn't normally do that at lunchtime kind of thing.
Yeah, it's that. And you're right. Kind of wearing what you're doing is absolutely spot on. I shouldn't have come back from my run this morning and put my jeans on. What I should have done is come back and like either stayed in my leggings or, you know, if you're wearing it, then your body and your eyes shame you into doing
That's
it, right?
That's a big thing for me. It forces me. If I stay, because there was a time, I'm still obviously an Udi queen, and there was a time, remember in that weird year where we worked from home, obviously the whole year, actual 2020, like peak pandemic. Remember we had that weird thing where we had like our company Christmas party was over Zoom, and we had awards for things, and mine was for wearing the most like loungewear at work or something. bleak times. I don't think I got out of my pajamas for like the whole of that, which looking back now, mental health crisis ensuing. Yes. But at the time, I didn't really know that. I hadn't put 2 and 2 together. And I think now I can't do that. I have to get up. And as much as I will joke about being in my pajamas all the time, because it's quite on brand for my personality, actually it's activewear all day, which most of the time, I mean, I'll just chill in, but it does force me.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
To be like, I haven't got the excuse of like, man, I can't even bother to get, I haven't got time to get changed or whatever. At lunchtime, I'm already there in it. So I get up from my desk, I do a thing, and then I'll have some lunch.
That's
quite a nice enforced lunch break too. Then I actually look forward to lunch break rather than just sort of letting it come and go without realizing that I haven't actually taken any time.
Oh my God, both of those are such good points. And I think that particularly if I don't have to do any kind of in-person meetings or I'm not going, which mostly I don't.
Yeah.
That there's, and because I'm so used to actually dropping the kids wearing sports stuff, that what's the shame in picking them up wearing sports stuff as well?
Yeah, no, not at all. You know? People will just be like, wow, you're so sporty. That's what everyone says to me. And little do they know that I've just been wearing it. To go to Mackie's in.
So, well, look, I tell you what, we've not asked about, I've not spoken about your running. What's been going on with you and your training?
Well, I was just going to say mine has been quite on that front, making jokes about wearing lots of activewear and doing nothing. I'm sounding very preachy about it. But I was really, really bad at sticking to my routine a bit last week. I went home for a couple of days, which was super lovely. But I just realize more and more and more as I get older that I'm a real creature of habit. And even just being in a different location, I found it really difficult. I brought my running kit home and stuff, but I found it really, really difficult to work that into what I was already, it felt like overcoming something, which it wasn't, being like, right, okay, so I got to set my work stuff up at home in my parents' sitting room and where I would, and that isn't what I would usually do. And so the idea of adding in more stuff felt too much. It wasn't really. Yeah. And it was a bit of a lame excuse, but it was just quite difficult to stick to my routine. So that's why I'm wearing my leggings today, because I really do need to do either a run or a HIIT class or something today so that I'm doing something get a bit sweaty. And then I'm really trying to stick to my yoga. Though I hadn't really realized until I said that aloud to you today that I think I just find it so much more difficult to stick to a Yoga with Adrian thing, not doing a physical class anymore. So maybe I need to sign back up to doing a physical class. It's just an extra expense and bringing us full circle to the cozy lives. Life is just so expensive at the moment. And I don't know whether I can afford to do a class, but yeah, mine is, I mean, like, I'm sure I've done a couple of bits since we probably last recorded, but the main development I think has probably been that I did less than I would have wanted to last week. I did.
So how do you?
And I chickened out of my Bath Fit Fam. I didn't go to it last weekend because I haven't had a weekend where Lex has been about, and I'm too scared to go on my own. So
anyway,
she's not
it
here
was
this weekend
down,
either. But I'm hoping the weekend after that.
So what I was going to ask was then, because at the moment you have no goals in the diary, do you feel
no
like
goals
popping
in
one
the diary.
In there?
I would quite do like to want, pop one in there.
What shape of goal would it be, do you think?
That I
wouldn't
think
be too awful.
Rather than an event, I actually feel like what I would really like to do is follow a training plan. I've never done that for nothing. Kind of thing. Like, you know, people do, I'm not saying it's nothing, but I've always had, you know, gone in quite like peaks and troughs with my running. So rather than just like gently following something, I've been like, right, okay, well, I've got the half marathon in April or whatever, so I'm going to chill for a month and not worry about it and like not force myself to run if I don't want to. And then I'm going to go, right, okay, back to the regime, three times a week, this long run on this day, blah, blah, blah. And I've never just like followed a training plan, because it'd be quite nice to kind of, for my mental health and for encouraging me to get outside and stuff to do that. So like people do Couch to 5K or something, where the end goal, it might be a park run or a 5K race or something like that. But quite often it's just like wanting to be just able to run
the
5K.
The time or the distance, yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder if like starting from the beginning with just like doing a following a 10K training plan or something might be quite a nice thing to do. Just for fun.
I think that sounds like a lovely thing to do. Do you think you would ever like, how do you feel about doing the Bath Half in October? Or is that
it has crossed my mind. I can't remember whether I told you that Lex and I watched the video for it the other weekend.
You said, yeah.
And we had a little cry, though we had also had the mimosas at that point. So it could have been that. I'm tempted. I don't know why I'm being a bit non-committal about it. I think it's just, I got super anxious before Paris, and we had lots of conversations and lots of lovely listeners wrote in and talked about the fact that they don't necessarily do races anymore or big events anymore, and that they kind of rediscovered that love of running by just doing stuff for themselves. And I was looking at the Conqueror challenges as well, and I thought maybe I want to do something accumulative for the next little while. I mean, it's ages till the Bath Half, isn't it? It's bloody ages. Yeah. It's October or something.
How would you feel about training for it and then doing it virtually? Would that feel less pressured?
No, I think I would want to do it in real life if I was going to train for it. I think I'd be too tempted because it was so...
Yeah.
It was pretty great last year. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe I should just go for it. You're doing it, aren't you?
I'm doing it. Well, I've signed up to it, but I really don't want to pressure you to do it, because I absolutely don't want you to do something that you don't feel comfortable doing. But
well,
at the same time,
I've got a bit of time, haven't I? Why don't I crack on with finding a nice training plan, following it, seeing how I get on with running three times a week again, and then and then have a think about the Bath Half.
I tell you what,
most training plans are going to be two or three, aren't they? So,
yeah, exactly, yeah. Two or three times a week. But I think one of the loveliest things as well is if you're doing that, if you're doing a sort of base training kind of or 10K training plan or something,
yeah,
which would be hopefully quite leisurely.
Yes, it's like a base training plan. That's exactly what I want to do. Yeah.
And hopefully that'll just be kind of, yeah, just sort of compared to the mileages and things that you were considering doing before Paris, be quite achievable and immediately achievable and kind of nothing scary there. What's lovely is if you're doing that, when you start then, if you then think that you might do Bath, and then so I can't remember when that is. I know it's October, but I can't remember when it is. So say you do like what, a 3 month training plan for a half? Is that about right? It's probably about right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's about 12 August. Weeks.
So kind of say you started doing something beginning of July, or you looked at the training plan beginning of July. If you're doing this base training thing, or you know, just running two, three times a week or whatever, chances are you'll look at that training plan that starts,
and I'll be like, oh, I already do like, more than that.
Oh, you know, yeah, exactly. You probably won't even need to get into your training plan until like week six, week seven of that 12-week training plan. So that's quite a lovely feeling to have, I think.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. The only thing I worry about when races are in autumn is that spring races are quite a good time for me. I know that sounds silly because you're running in like nasty... wintry weather and stuff, but there's also never like huge amounts going on. Whereas I think maybe that's been a thing that's made me nervous about committing to the Bath Half, is that we're going on a Taylor family holiday this summer.
Oh, you are.
Which I'm really looking forward to. And then I've also got two friends' weddings There's just like quite a few bits that are in the calendar already, and usually I wouldn't even be thinking about June, July, August yet, but they've already there are already a few weekends that have been blocked off for like a year or something.
You are absolutely right.
Summer I find it much more difficult to have the time to do that long run.
Yeah, I much preferred training in the summer. But that said, I remember the how my training plan looked, that I had blocked out these great big bits when I was on holiday, when we were away, blah, blah, blah. And this spring, although there's been bits, there's been like the odd, there's been the odd day or two, which have been, there was, you know, the Legoland weekend, for instance.
Yes.
But mainly but it's
same
been
with
fine.
You. Yeah, it's like generally, oh my gosh, I haven't told you what I did this weekend. Quick interjection. Did I tell you about this? That
no.
We recorded an album, my choir.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It was
It was at Peter Gabriel's. It was at Real World Studios.
Wow.
Where Harry Styles has recorded. Beyonce has recorded. Someone there said they saw her in the car park.
Shit.
Not on the day we were there, though. It was like 5 years ago or something that she recorded there. Okay. Yeah, it was. I felt so famous. But stuff like that, that's what I was just thinking of. It's like there are bits like that that happen in this kind of time of year, but it's not like there's kind of, you know, you've got like weekends blocked out for the next 3 weeks or something. And that can happen to me quite a lot in summer. I don't know about you.
Yes, it can. It can. And it might be, it might be that if you did want to do a half marathon, that the Bath half isn't the one for you, that you maybe you choose one that's in November.
Really. Yeah, so that I got a little bit more time so that the training is like in August, because I don't think there's anything happening in August yet.
No, yeah.
So maybe I can kind of keep that time a little bit more free. And I mean, I'm a bit more flexible with it now. I think that now that we run, like, you know, we talk about our running all the time on the pod, and like it's much more of a part of my job as well as being a part of that. I think I'm a bit more flexible with, like, if I need to do it on a Friday lunchtime or something. But I just, it does, you do feel guilty, don't you, when it gets up to those times of like 2 hour runs and stuff, that it's like people are this isn't just I can slip away from my desk for half an hour. Everybody is going to notice if I just am running around the streets of Bath and not replying to any emails for 2 hours on a Friday.
But it is part of our job. We have to talk about, I mean, as much as we want to talk about, there was something I was going to talk to you about. Right.
We need those Bluetooth headphone things, don't we, so that we can go, hello, yes, send it over straight away while we're running along like business.
While we're running along.
Yeah.
Like women in STEM.
Yeah.
I was sort of thinking, so this Friday, I think I might have to take some time off to do a run kind of thing. But, so I was just thinking about this because we were talking, last week, we were sort of saying to each other, oh, we need to have a new Bake Off, don't we? We need to.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So I watched Bake Off Stand Up to Cancer. Have you been watching it?
Oh my God, why wasn't this number one on our list of things to talk about? So I don't think I've watched the one that was last night.
I've not watched that one. I've only watched the first one.
Me too. With David Schwimmer.
With David Schwimmer.
Oh, David Schwimmer. Oh, let's discuss. Wasn't he?
Not sure about him.
Doug thought he looked a little bit melted in the
he
face
He did look
department.
Weird.
I really came
then I
round
think he always
to him.
Had.
Yes, I think he always
did.
Had
you?
That. Yes, I thought I really enjoyed how earnestly he loved baking. He was so serious about it.
He was what I was picking up on was some false modesty going on there. It was like,
do you
know,
you
because
think?
A lot of them, I mean, like Jessie, for instance, she'd never seen the inside of an oven.
No, like she'd bless her she soul. She was hilarious.
And the fingernails.
The fingernails. Like, oh, how are you going to need anything with those?
I know.
Bless her heart. But yeah, she was on the struggle bus from the beginning, wasn't she?
She was. I loved all of the people. I really loved the Kiwi comedian.
Yes.
I saw her. She was in that brilliant TV series where she gets off with the famous guy at the back of the bus. This is like one of my conversations.
Oh,
I have
no,
for days.
I don't know this. Oh, what? My Auntie Penny does this where she says, oh, you know, man in a lift with a white vest, no shoes on. That's Die Hard. Yeah. But Auntie Penny is famous for doing that as well. Yeah.
Gets off with a famous bloke at the back of the bus.
Yeah, it was, hang on a sec. It was, what's her name? Kiwi comedian. What was her name? Did you recognize her at all?
Yes, yeah. But I recognize her because
Rose
within Matafeo. The Bake Off, I recognize her just from being a comedian. I think I've seen her do some stuff like Edinburgh Fringe and things. Yes, yeah. Rose Matafeo, that's her name. Interesting Bake Off universe fact. I'm pretty sure that she was going out with James Acaster. And remember when he appeared on Bake Off and he had a breakdown.
Oh.
And he had an awful, awful time on his Bake Off. And I'm pretty sure it was her that he'd broken up with the night before his awful Bake Off breakdown. So I thought that was interesting themes that she appeared on her own and did very well.
She did very well. Her TV series, which I loved, was called Starstruck. And it was
You told me to watch that at the time. And I never did.
I'm writing down now that I need to watch it.
Look, I'm literally doing this now, aren't I?
She's brilliant. She's a chaotic woman in her 20s and she has this it's really rom-commy but really modern. And has the most, it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful.
Okay, I really fell in love with her. I thought she was very sweet.
She's absolutely brilliant in that.
I also loved, I adore Tom Davis with all of my heart. He was why I watched that one.
He was wonderful. Yeah,
Have you watched Murder in Successville?
No.
Esther, it is iconic. He plays it's like a kind of improv thing. I've never seen anything like it before. They tried to copy it for an American version, but I didn't think it was very good. It only really works, I think, kind of very silly British humor, and it's all very British, the jokes and things. But it's a series where it's kind of a murder mystery, and they get a celebrity guest on, and it's all set in this sort of fake world called Successville. He is I think Tom Davis's character is the only person who is a genuine character of his own. Everybody else is playing a celebrity, doing an impression of a celebrity, but the celebrity has a different job. So like his chief inspector is Gordon Ramsay, for example, and it's a guy doing where he comes in, he goes, "Oh, fucking hell, what's going on with this investigation?" And does a really hilarious Gordon Ramsay impression. Then the person who's murdered will always also be like, it'll be Daniel Radcliffe, but Daniel Radcliffe, the famous jockey or something. That it's so silly. Yeah. It's so silly. And then they'll get an actor. It's so good. And then they'll get an actual celebrity on to be the assistant to Tom Davis's inspector guy. Yeah. And they'll have to solve the murder mystery together. But it is the most bonkers, stupid thing ever. And that it's all kind of improv. So he will kind of purposefully get them to do things where they, I don't know, have to do something very embarrassing or silly. But it's so, so funny. And then at the end, they have to actually pick who they really do put clues throughout the episode. And then the celebrity will have to pick who they thought did the murder of, you know, was it Arlene Phillips or was it like Lenny Henry or something? It's so silly. It sounds unhinged and it is, but it's so funny. And he is just iconic in it. And he keeps it together the majority of the time, but every so often he can't quite hold it together. And
he has a little corpse. Oh, I love
extra
that.
Extra funny when he corpses. Yeah. He's so good at it. He's so good, Esther. You'll love it. Please watch it and tell me.
I will. I promise.
So good. Well, I'll watch Starstruck now that I love Rose Matafeo, because I'd only really heard of her as having gone out with James Acaster and then seen him have a mental breakdown on Bake Off about it. So I wasn't necessarily expecting to like her because I love him. And actually, I loved her so much. She was great.
If you watch Starstruck, you will love him so much more than James Acaster. And I say that definitively because not only because the program was really good, but also because I listened to, what's the podcast he does?
Oh,
the food one. Mm. Oh my God, I thought it was shocking.
Did you?
Yeah, and him in particular,
I thought I didn't like his voice. Maybe I have to get used to him.
Yeah, I mean, he has got a very, he's got a very silly voice.
It just wasn't really, it just wasn't a nice voice. And I didn't find him very funny.
I love
funny.
It.
Didn't he just
you?
Wasn't I funny.
Mean, I don't know. It is a bit chaotic there off menu podcast, isn't it? Like maybe it's a watch the stand up, see if you enjoy their personalities and then what they bring to the show. But I do know what you mean. Some episodes are amazing and I laugh huge amounts, and some I think, what are they talking about now? What's going on? Well, it's a bit like this,
I guess. But like, I thought that Ed Gamble was funnier and more together. And I was listening to the Joe Cornish episode, and
yes,
I think maybe
and
there
you
was
like Joe Cornish. So
I do, but I don't like him as much as Adam Buxton.
No,
so
Adam Buxton there is an Adam Buxton episode of Off Menu.
Oh, maybe I should.
You've got
to
scroll back a bit, but see, see what Anna Louis threw all the Holy Trinity.
But yeah, so maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that. Look, I tell you what we should talk about. We need to talk about Park Run because
we need
we talked
to talk about Park Run. It's 55 minutes in. I said this to you. Esther emails me before the podcast. This is our roles. I'm the James Acaster and you're the Ed Gamble. You've got it together. And Esther, before we record, will go, what are we going to talk about? Come on. We need to think. And I will be like, oh, we got loads of emails about Park Run. Here we are 55 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't probably talked about any of the things that you carefully planned and that we've talked about
all of them apart from Parkrun. But I know that you've got like a bazillion emails.
There are so many emails.
So I'm terrified about these emails.
No,
I'm worried that
don't.
People are going to come for me.
Don't worry. I mean, I'm not necessarily going to read them all out because we had so many. No. I just wanted to give you the general vibes back from it. And you don't need to be terrified. I think what happened was that we actually sparked quite an interesting, it's groundbreaking journalism, I would argue, because I think we sparked some quite interesting debates and people were quite divided. But nobody has emailed us and gone, you fucking bitches, unless they've privately.
That's what I was expecting.
Yeah, they might have privately done that. No one's emailed us and said that.
I was expecting Mr. Parkrun to just go, fuck off.
Yeah. You know? Well, I also had that fear where as soon as I realised what we'd said on the episode, I was like, well, you know, that scuppers our chances of ever working with Parkrun, doesn't it? However, I was thinking about it and I was like, you know what? I would love to. And then we can bring some of the thoughts and opinions of women to the experience, because a lot of people agreeing with us
that
the stats have either put them off or have a big one that lots of people were saying was agreeing with you in the kind of encouragement to kind of hold yourself to a standard each week and feel disappointed if you're either not beating a PB or not placing as highly as you were before in your age group or in the pack as a whole. Lots of people who felt that we had somebody who said that she'd struggled with anorexia before and that she actually still does do Park Run, but she said that the stats was something that like she really struggled with because it brought back this kind of competitive, slightly unhealthy relationship with exercising. And now most of the time that she runs watchless, timeless, doesn't think about it, just does it for fun. But obviously Park Run doesn't quite allow you to do that. A lot of people kindly correcting me that there is a way to not have the stats. But not like an official way. So you can just like have the barcode, but then just like dump it in the not scan it basically.
They do want you to, exactly.
So I think there's let me just double check the person who has said that because
I mean I have run before. Well, I've run Park Run with a friend who didn't have a barcode and she just didn't go through the funnel at the end. But they don't I know that they don't like that. They really don't like that.
Yeah. Okay. So that is what people are saying. So people, we had a few people say on social media and a couple of people email in to say that you collect your token, but just throw it in the bucket and don't scan it. I think, that is something that would, I mean, it's definitely possible, and it's a way around it if you really want to do parkrun. But it's not, you know, it's not like you're invited to do that, is it? It's definitely the default and the norm that you would scan.
Yeah,
it.
And I think the thing to on parkrun's side, I think the thing to kind of to acknowledge is that parkrun is one of any number of different types of running in group situations you can do over the course of a week. So you could choose to run in a social running group where you just chat and you just do that for half an hour on a Wednesday or something. And then parkrun is your kind of tempo run. And so that you can sort of see it as that. And that's absolutely fine. And I don't, you know, I'm not denigrating parkrun in any way, shape or form. It can be a lot of things to a lot of different people.
Yeah.
But I think my argument is that what it's trying to persuade us that it is not quite what it is.
Like, no, it's trying to persuade us that
it's
what,
massively.
It's just a community thing. And that was the kind of top reasons for people who defended parkrun, because there were definitely people who love going. Mm. And basically what you've just said, I think, is what it comes down to. I think some people don't mind that there are people who take it very, very seriously and are kind of elite runners. Yeah. Some of the people have been those people in the past or are those people now and find it really, really helpful to have those stats tracked for you and to help be held accountable. That was another top reason why people really wanted to go. Yeah. It's like every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, you're getting up, you're going to parkrun. Everybody knows that that's, you know, that's in your routine and you don't have to think about that run. But for a lot of people as well, I think it was, you know, lots of people saying testosterone fueled, lots of people saying people who almost physically elbow you out the way because they kind of consider their parkrun time to be more important than the community aspect of here are all these people that are running. And the majority of our listeners are people who enjoy the community aspect and go because you're running with lots of people and again, the accountability thing. But there are definitely people who've encountered people who are like, who clearly think of it as like, this is where I'm going to run my 5K PB this week.
Yeah.
I think that's where it gets confused, because you actually can't just kind of go, oh, it's a lovely inclusive thing, but also here's all these stats and it's all quite serious and we've got a leaderboard and you can. I think there's something still that needs to kind of work out what it is about that, as you've said, because that is where, if you are a community-based runner, you do end up slightly suffering because you are pushed out the way, or either physically or metaphorically, and it does feel a bit like it in some park runs. Again, it's all so different, isn't it, that it's a bit of a elites first and then it's, you know.
Yeah, and I think particularly because Bath only has one park run, you'd think that actually for the size of it there should be more than one, but there's only one. And it does, and because it's proximity to the university, you do get some speedy runners at the front. And we have when I've done it, there's been like 350, 400 runners, sometimes even a bit more. So it can be really, really toppy. And the first sort of third of which are kind of 20-minute 5Kers or less.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it can feel there were less than 200 runners, I think. So also, I think that didn't help. The majority of the people writing in are saying that there are sort of about 500 or so at their park runs, which I think is probably more normal. The one my mum does in Cheltenham has got like nearly 1,000, I think.
Bloody
might have said that wrong, but don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure. And she's loved it, and she's a very gentle plodder. So, I mean, it's still dividing crowds. And I think there were lots of people that agreed and lots of people that disagreed. But the most important thing was, I think it definitely got people thinking about parkrun and whether there are ways that it can be like still a great space that you can like hit that PB or do whatever it is that you're trying to do, but also like not leave behind the community of people who are just wanting to, you know, it could be their first run ever, but they're just it should be that space that you feel kind of supported and it's like an aided 5K, in my opinion. That's what I would think of it as. It's a 5K where you don't have to think about the route and there are kind marshals and there are
people
spurring you on. I think that's how it feels to me. But everybody's got their own relationship with it as you said, and that was also evident in people's responses to the conversation.
Yeah, and what goes on in your head is just what goes on in your head. So I thoroughly agree that, like, as we run round our route, that despite our giggles about thank you marshalling, that the marshals are all absolutely bloody lovely. All the volunteers are just wonderful. The course directors are wonderful. Everything is really, and that does feel very inclusive and very cheering and very kind of enabling and all that kind of thing. So, but what's going on in your head is kind of, is the anxiety as you're running because of so many people around you and the stress that people are trying to do certain paces, and then the email that you get afterwards, which is going to either make your day or fuck you up for a weekend.
Definitely. Definitely. So
it's that sort of thing. And I wonder if there, but you know, as I said, there are plenty of running groups out there to fulfill specific different
totally
needs.
Like if your park local run just park isn't, run, yeah, it's not going to be a fit for everybody. And if you are super speedy, it might not, your local one might not be a fit for you. Not everybody, you know, that's not the case with everybody's park runs. Like Esther said, that's kind of ours because of its proximity to a very sporty uni. But that doesn't have to be everybody's. And equally, if you feel like I do, that it is a bit unhelpful sometimes for making you feel a bit rubbish, then there are plenty of other groups like the Bath Fit Fam one that I keep chickening out of doing. I've seen people do it with, you know, there are people with prams, there are people walking, like I should just bloody do that one.
Yeah. And then, but then on top of that, I know there are plenty of running groups that you can either pay for or are free. I mean, like there's, you know, This Mum Runs, we know does free, you know, but some people will feel excluded from that just because of the name. So it's kind of, you know, it's fine, but
the right thing for you, isn't it? And that's also what I hope that we can do, at least with this pod, is that even whether you're running on your own, whether you're running with a group, whether you're running a park run, that hopefully this can feel like a bit of a run club, because it does for me.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, absolutely. We need to do more of that. I think we have some plans afoot to make this feel like more of a community for you guys.
Yeah,
because yeah, I definitely, like, whenever
at the moment,
I run,
it's all about us, which suits us very nicely, but
it suits the two narcissists massively.
It does, but it would be nice if it was more about everyone else as well.
Yeah. Well, like you said, it's like, you know, when we did Paris, it was like that feeling, that overwhelming hug-like feeling from the community of the Pod Squad was so joyous and so uplifting. And so kind of, you know, it almost felt, there was a sort of almost religious kind of for the greater good feeling about it, wasn't there? Like it was just like, this is, you know, we were thinking of so many other people along with our own legs, that was so great. And it's a feeling that we really want to share and want other people to benefit from. Yeah.
That was lovely. That summed it all up really well. Before we finish, I have actually got one funny parkrun story, because so sorry, literally we usually get a fair amount of emails from you guys, but it went bonkers. It was popping off, the phone was ringing off the hook after the parkrun episode, so I didn't want to read, I read them all, but that's my little summary of everyone's thoughts rather than reading everybody's responses. But I did have one short story that I wanted to read to you.
Yes, go.
This is from Rachel, who again was weighing in on the parkrun debate, but she did have a little story that made me laugh. She said, I volunteered at parkrun once to give a little back. I thought this story might amuse you as it amused my partner. I'm too polite most of the time and I have a habit of attracting strange people. Hard relate from me. Another volunteer latched onto me. Like we were literally talking about last week, what was his name? The guy in the hotel lobby.
Oh, Andy. Yeah.
Andy, mad Andy. Another volunteer latched onto me, talking to me about how his party trick was being able to burp continuously.
I like that trick. I'm quite good at that myself.
Are you? Okay, well, see how you feel about this. I tried to humour this person, but was relieved when I had to go off to my Marshall point. Unfortunately, the burper found me again afterwards and asked if I wanted to go for a drink in the cafe. I declined, had a genuine reason, but even if I didn't, it probably still would have been a no. He then gave me his church's business card, which confused me, but I took it politely. Oh, he then walked with me while I headed for the car. I thought, how am I going to shake this person? He then decided to show me his continuous burping skill. You can imagine how much this pleased me. He couldn't do it. Instead, he repeatedly did lots of little single barely burps. I had no idea what to say. He asked if I would be there the following week. Luckily, we parted ways because we need to go in different directions and I avoided that park run.
Didn't go back for ages.
She has been since as an update, but she hasn't spotted the burper, and the burper hasn't spotted her, so she's not had to interact with the burper again. But it literally put her off park run for ages.
That would genuinely put me off. He sounds like a total nutter. Like,
yeah,
oh,
I can't
my
even
God.
Do it. Come on. If you're gonna burp the alphabet or something.
Oh, how would you, as a grown-up, like this is something like Ted talks about with his, you know, he'll come back and say, oh my God, you know, Charlie can burp the alphabet. Now, he's talking about a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
As a grown-up, I don't think, and you know, I can do a fair bit of the alphabet, but I still don't think I would go up to a complete stranger and say,
no, I'm not sure it would be the first of my skills. Yeah, yeah. That I would want to share. Yeah, I mean, also, you're at a park run, aren't you? Like, you know that you can both run 5 kilometres. That's probably where to start, maybe, if
maybe
you want to make a friend.
Running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Ooh. Start there. Well, you know, shout out to the burper. Thanks, Rachel, for the story. And shout out to the burper if he is listening. But maybe have a bit of a practice.
Either have a practice or try a different tact. I don't know.
Yes. Maybe find a new party trick.
Yes. Wiggle your ears, something. Something less intrusive audibly, I think.
Burping isn't quite your skill. And maybe have a little practice before you're going to brag that you can do it and then it's barely burps. Anyway, that made me chuckle.
It feels like you're more distressed about the fact that he couldn't do it, and I'm more distressed that he wanted to do it in the first place.
Yeah, the bit that sent me was that he couldn't do it. I was laughing, and I was kind of relating because I was like, this is a bit like me. I don't know why, but I just always end up talking to the most bonkers person in the room. And it, like when I met a bloke who said he was a world champion darts player. And he wasn't. He was so shit at darts. And he was telling me that his wife was a underwear model, and he met her on Christmas Day and married her on Boxing Day or something like that. Anyway, I always end up meeting those people, or Mad Andy, for example. And I was just relating. And then it was the fact that when he actually tried to do the burps, that he couldn't do them, that tipped me over the edge and made me laugh so much about that story. I read that one to Doug, actually. That made the cut.
Oh my God. I mean, that's high praise indeed.
We both had a little laugh for a while.
Oh my God.
Right, I'm off to practice my burping. Yeah.
Good. Good. Yeah, so you should. Yeah, and I'll come back and demonstrate the fact that I can get to at least D.
Yes, okay. Let's circle back on this next week.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including behind the scenes newsletters and free access to monthly live chats with me and Holly. For just £6 a month, you can listen to our bonus Extra Mile podcasts too. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The editor and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. Do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.